Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to another episode of
Sex Talk.
I'm your host, DJ Intimate Corey. I've decided that as part of our new fall season, which actually started our winter season, which actually just started.
Well, we were on hiatus for a while. We were replaced with reruns of Small Wonder.
That, instead of picking a different Jackass persona every week, I would now relate more closely to you, more intimately to you, my listeners, especially those of you 16 years and older.
By settling on a single Jackass persona.
That's right. Which unfortunately is my true persona. But what we have tonight is a very, very special guest. In fact, we're making Sex Talk history. We actually have a real guest who actually has done something with his life and accomplished things and not spent 10 years in graduate school. That person is John Michael Kurlevich. John, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Corey. It's great to be here.
John is not only known internationally on the internet as Tongue Beast, but is also the arts and entertainment editor of Planet Q. Planet Q is a local gay news weekly.
Monthly.
Oh, pardon me. And not only is he the award-winning editor of that.
Award-winning.
The arts and entertainment editor for that magazine, but he also has an award-winning monthly column. He didn't tell me what awards he won, which kind of worried me. Maybe it was sort of the Whole Monkey Tongue Beast Award.
It was actually a thing called the Vice Versa Award,
they're
smilingly described as the Pulitzer Prizes for the gay press.
Oh, wow.
And Planet Q swept those last year. We won in every category we were nominated in.
Is this a national award?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Your column's called Notes from the Culture War, I believe.
Right.
And not only that, I mean, as if that weren't enough accomplishment for one man, but you've also published three novels, you're working on a play, and you have successfully raised two cats.
Well, you know, sometimes it rains.
Did you know what he meant by that?
Yeah, sometimes it rains, and so he has to stay in the house and do stuff.
I see, okay. So,
right?
John,
am I, or I'm...
No, that's, I waive the right of consecutive translation.
I wasn't sure, maybe it was some, I don't know.
Sometimes, I thought that was some kind of like queer code.
Exactly,
like,
right.
You know, would you like to go out with me tonight? Well, you know, sometimes it rains. You don't know what it means, but you still feel rejected. I mean, I don't know where he was going with that, but...
Who knows?
I have had...
People rain on you?
Well, last week, which our viewers did not hear, I was talking about how Jonathan Taylor Thomas might...
Rain all over you.
Exactly. And how I might enjoy that. But apparently our producer decided that was not... Well, I was using terms from... I used to be a longshoreman. I don't even know what that is, a longshoreman.
I know they talk dirty.
I failed to introduce our other guest, Sharon Davis, longtime friend of the show, Sharon Davis, and... Of course, Dr. Sexopolis, my barely tolerated sidekick.
That's me.
Welcome.
But adorable, nevertheless.
Why, thank you.
Perfectly yummy, in fact.
Thank you.
Downright. No one calls me yummy. Like, why is that? It's because I'm not young.
Well, I was going to call you scrumptious before you spoke up.
See, my therapist. Anyway, let's not talk about me. Actually, before we start, I have this question, which has actually been bothering me all day today, because I was downtown today. I don't go downtown very much.
There's not much there.
There's like two new stadiums being built right next to each other. How many stadiums is this town going to have by the time? I mean, since we're after a sports show, I thought I would bring this up because I didn't understand it. There's a stadium that we have already, and then there's another stadium which is new, and then there's another stadium by the Science Center. Is that right?
Right.
What the heck is up with that?
How many stadiums? I mean, so.
Well, they're going to either implode or explode the old one.
Well,
they're still arguing about which. Yeah.
Right. But
and
now
that'll
we
leave us with two
new ones.
And then the Penguins, I think, are clamoring for a new arena, too.
I felt like it was like some kind of like science fiction TV show where, like, you know, there's two battling gangs that were like trying to build their spaceship.
Thunderdome or something?
This would be more like the alien species that sucks our blood.
Like, and our tax dollars.
Like, I thought, hypothetically, if we need two stadiums, couldn't we keep one and add one? Like, why build two and subtract one?
I guess
should we build five and destroy three? I mean, there's other mathematical possibilities.
How would you go about getting graft out of that?
Well put.
Maybe someone can call in, or maybe our Sex Talk, our sports line producer can explain this at some point. What?
In small words.
But actually, you know, I was going to say this is not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is...
Bathroom sex in the new stadium?
Wow. Do you think that's a possibility?
I'm curious.
Actually, the TV series that we're here to talk about does have a mention to the fact that there are gay players on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Besides Cordell. Or including?
Well, they don't actually name names, oh, okay. But the fact that they're even mentioning it on national television really blew me away.
And they even have sex in the men's room sometimes, too.
I mean, the Steelers.
The characters in the series, not the Steelers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The characters on the series. Hopefully.
Though the Steelers may well, too. I've never gotten a locker room pass.
I mean, is this just one of these kind of generic, like, in any group of N men, there's going to be, like, N over 10 gay men? Or is there
some strange gay
attractor?
Talking about, like, a statistical
thing? I mean, is this just a statistical
thing?
Comment, or is it, like, we all know? I mean, so there are these longstanding rumors that Cordell Stewart was arrested for having gay sex in the Fruit Loop, the so-called Fruit Loop. Have you heard these rumors?
Yes. Everybody's heard those rumors.
So,
The other rumor that I've heard that just really fascinates me is that Cordell Stewart and Bill Cowher are lovers.
Holy
I mean,
sweet.
Lord only knows where that came from. But
Bill Cowher.
And I really don't want to believe that Bill Cowher is gay.
Who's Cowher?
He's the coach.
Oh. You're weird. A straight man. What do you mean, who's Bill Cowher?
You're
obligated to watch football and enjoy it.
No.
You know, he wears that earphone mouthpiece thing and
right.
he, like, barks orders.
He's got these, like, huge lips that you could serve lunch off of. He's just nobody I want to believe is gay.
Huge lips can be sensual, though.
No.
Bill
not
Cowher's
gays. No. Unclean. No. Out.
What
about Henry Kissinger?
What?
I mean, he had huge lips.
You've heard the rumors?
He's not red hot, sexy, pouty.
Are we going to sit here and gossip all night? No. I can tell you the rumors about Henry Kissinger, too.
Oh, no. I haven't heard any rumors about Henry Kissinger.
Just
spill. Dish.
The rumor for years has been that Henry Kissinger likes very young boys.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he did say power is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
Well, he might have put it something like that, yes.
Power and candy, I guess.
I just got an important message on my Palm Pilot. Did you say Bill Cowher is the ultimate aphrodisiac?
I said power.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Very different.
Okay. Well, actually, I've just been informed that we have to move on to our next topic immediately. We've enraged the entire Pittsburgh community, and Pittsburgh people, you know, love their sports teams like no other town. So we should move on to the putative, if I can use that. That's a $7.50 word.
The nominal.
The nominal theme of the show, which is the normative theme of the show, which is
queer as folk.
Queer as folk. And for those of you listeners who don't know what this is, there was this fantastic, life-altering, groundbreaking, paradigm-shifting British TV show called...
So you're saying it was good?
With the strange, wacky title Queer as Folk, which, of course, as we all know, comes from the Welsh saying, there's nought so queer... I mean, I can't say it, maybe you can.
There's nought so queer as folk.
Oh, wow. Okay, can we do that again? Because that was really good.
There's nought so queer as folk.
That sounds more Scottish than Welsh.
I think it is a Scottish saying.
Okay,
I didn't want to be rude to my host.
It's all the same to
feel
my
free, you know,
Native American ears.
Every time I'm wrong, you know, the best way to actually the most, as I say, the way to my heart is to humiliate me as much as possible, because by obliterating my own sense of self worth, you actually enslave me emotionally. And so,
I saw that on the wall in the men's room. Actually.
Which men's room?
So anyway, that saying means that basically there's nothing stranger than people, and it's not originally a reference to us gay folks.
Right. Fabulous. There's Russell Davies?
Russell T. Davies.
Is the sort of, I think, at least writer, if not writer and director.
Writer, producer.
Okay.
Who also wrote a few Doctor Who episodes.
Really?
I'm not making
the
that
deuce
up.
You say.
Doctor Who looms large in the British queer as folk.
Wow.
He's currently working on a miniseries about the Second Coming of Christ, which has the Church of England, I gather, rather concerned.
Wow.
So this series for a while in a little more background, Britain has some kind of wacky, you know, somewhat cutting edge channel, Channel 4.
Channel 4.
And they produce sort of artsy, sort of not necessarily artsy, but kind of cutting edge, more interesting stuff.
They did Bob and Margaret.
A voice from the heavens announces.
Did our producer say that, or was that one of my internal voices that said that?
No,
they did Bob and Margaret.
They did Bob.
In some kind of threesome? Wow, that is a pretty cool channel.
There are angels in America.
I don't even know what Bob and Margaret is.
I believe it's some cartoon.
Okay.
I did Bob once, but...
I did Bob while Margaret watched, which is kind of weird.
With a Polaroid on the sink. Yeah, I remember.
That's all going to get beeped. We're appealing to the prurient interests here.
No, I think they're surfing the web right now. They don't even know. They're not even listening. By the way, if you're listening and need to sort of, you know, have question, comment, concern, you want to lodge a complaint, get me
fired.
You want
Cordell Stewart's phone number?
621-CORDELL. No, I'm just kidding. Our phone number is 621-WRCT. Or I'm not going to do the or thing. Just that's all it is. 621-WRCT.
And if you don't have letters on your phone by now, you know.
621-97.
Come out of your cave.
Okay, I'll forget.
We no longer fear fire.
621-9728. I also have a special message, by the way.
The Christmas message?
Through an incredible series of coincidences, I now know who our high school listener is.
No kidding.
I do. And she doesn't – I bet you're listening right now, high school girl. Quake with fear, sister, because I know who you are. And I will just say your first name starts with an L.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
If it's true, call us in 621-9728 and be amazed at my powers of
we'll be nice.
Stalker. Well, you're looking at me like I've invaded. Was that invasive?
No.
It's a high school girl, so she's safe.
I know that you really are very interested in this, that she's probably one of your most loyal listeners. Oh. And it came
and or
the only one who heard from it, at any rate.
Right. And, well, I'll tell you why I know. I mean, it's not that I have been stalking her for the past 2 weeks.
It's more like a month.
But this isn't about Elle. The phone is ringing. This isn't about Cordell. This is about the show Chris Oak. Oh, and so this fabulous show was on. It was, I think, tell me out here, 8 episodes?
Eight episodes in 99 and then 2 more early this year.
And it was really great. I mean, although some people were outraged, it was very popular. A lot of people really liked it. Gay people liked it. Straight people liked it. A lot of people really enjoyed it. It was an enjoyable show, even if you weren't gay. It was full of talented, charismatic actors and great writing. It was funny.
So this was
touching.
This was primarily a drama, right?
And we have a phone call.
Uh-oh.
I can't answer that question.
Somewhere between a drama and a comedy of manners.
Hello, caller.
Hey,
welcome to
Brenda.
The show. Sorry?
It's Brenda.
Brenda. Is Brenda the high school listener?
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. Am I right?
Did Clark talk to you?
I don't know who this Clark is, but...
I know you know my friend Clark's father.
I reveal nothing about the infinite web of connections that
Wow, it's great to hear from you.
Yes, actually, I was like, I should go call them, and then you said that. I was like, maybe I should.
Wow. Well, so tell me, Brenda, while we're on the phone, we can talk about your sad little high school world.
Oh, thank you.
or we can talk about, have you seen the show that we're talking about? Do you have Showtime? Have you seen Queer as Folk?
I don't have cable. I'm deprived.
Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Do you have a sexual orientation yet, or like, are you still in high school?
No, I have an orientation.
Really?
Yes.
Would you care to reveal it?
I have a very happy little girlfriend right now.
See, she said last time that she was, what, militant? That she was...
Oh.
You know, I'm righteous? I can't remember. It was a word then.
Radical?
Radical, right. And you were the one who said...
Who said what? That was a different me. I mean, I've been through...
We're glad. We're pleased. I'm glad you called back.
So how did you come up with the name?
Which one?
Your name?
Yes.
Brenda?
We work with computers. We know everything.
That's right. See, the thing is...
Okay, now I'm just confused. Okay, that's okay. My brain hurts.
No, actually... look... Brenda, so it's actually less mysterious than you think, and I think your suspicions are right on. But I don't want to necessarily derail the show too much on our own personal relationship, although you and I can talk afterwards if you like. So the question I have for you is, do you listen every week? Am I your role model? Do you dream about me?
Yes, no, no.
Oh, man.
And I was very disappointed because I was producing a musical last week, and I was like, I have to get home. It's a Tuesday. I wanted to get a radio. And I turned it on, and you weren't there, and I was very disappointed because I came home early.
Which musical?
A friend of mine wrote a musical.
Wow.
And I don't know if you read the newspaper at all, but it was in the Gazette and all that goodness.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
What's it called?
I could barely dress myself in high school.
It's called what?
It's called The Race, and it's about what would happen if two political candidates fell in love. And it's very cute and amazing.
Is it about Gore and Bush?
No.
Thank God. I don't want to have... mental image of the two of them.
It's written by my
sex.
Friend who's a junior, and now I feel totally worthless because, well, he's doing amazing things like that, and I'm not. And so, yeah.
Brenda, no, you have huge. If what my spies tell me about you is true, your future is going to be huge.
And you have, believe me, I speak from personal experience, you have decades more left to develop self-loathing, bitterness.
That's right.
And hatred.
Apply to graduate school. It's
right.
The best move both Dr. Sexopoulos and I have ever made. But, Brenda.
Yes.
I would love to talk to you, actually, later, I think. So if you haven't seen the show or have nothing sort of on topic to say, I would like to suppress you and control you for the time being and move back to John
Help
Michael Kerr.
Help, I'm being repressed.
Do you have a cool one last question before your oppression is complete, and that is, do you have a cool internet name like Tongue Beast or Hole Monkey?
Pardon?
Internet. You've heard of the internet. I'm sure you've heard of
yes.
The Al Gore's internet. They're in Wexford or wherever it is you live in.
Hey,
the information super big gulp.
Yes.
Do you have a cool online name like Tongue Beast?
I have a cool internet name, but that would not be it.
Oh, okay. Well,
there can only be one Tongue Beast. And we already know.
I guess, is amusing.
I guess female like lesbian names would be like Lilith or, you know.
I love Alanis.
Well, it could also be Tongue Beast. Why not?
True. More Hole Monkey.
Nurtura.
It's taken, my dear.
I know.
No, women's names are all
more original.
Women's names are not sexual on the internet. They're all, like I said, Nurtura.
Earth Star, Sunshine, Rainbow.
I have one that was Vixen.
With how many X's?
One.
Okay. See, that's not sexual. Vixen with three X's, that's sexual.
Oh, come on. Grow up. Okay, high school girl telling you grow up. That's
sad. Wow, that is sad. Brenda, you've insulted us so much that I'm going to hang up on you. But you have two things that you have to do. First, you have to send me email. You have the internet. Go to our webpage, sextalk.wrct.org. My email address is on there somewhere. Send me email and we'll talk. I have to meet some of your high school male friends, especially the ones who are questioning themselves. And we have to talk about how I can become your mentor.
I'm frightened.
Thanks for calling.
That's right. That fear is a normal reaction.
You're probably used to that, so you know.
File this one under Be Very Afraid.
But thank you for calling in. But we have to get back to John. John is our precious resource, and time is burning up. We only have a few minutes left.
Definitely.
Thank you for calling in, Brenda.
Sure.
Or I know your real name, but... Let's
yes.
just leave it at that.
Brenda's a good name. I like Brenda.
Yeah, Brenda Starr, the failed kind of...
Brenda from 90210?
Oh. Brenda Vaccaro? Popular. Okay.
At any rate, I think we're digressing.
Okay. Time to hang up. Bye, Brenda. By the way, if you're any of our other callers, I don't know all of your names, although if you call in, I do an automatic trace, and then I start stalking you. 621-9728 is the phone number. John. We've got to get to the point here, for God's sake. Whose fault is this?
Me. You can blame it on me.
The point is that this is a huge hit in Britain, although the second one was kind of lame, I thought.
So is it a critical?
Not as well. Yeah. Davies didn't want to do the second one. The network pressured him to because the first series was so popular.
I was going to ask, was it a popular success? I mean, did it?
Very, very much so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it wasn't just a critical success. It wasn't.
Huge audience. Biggest hit Channel 4 ever had.
Huh.
It wasn't like...
And then in this country, Showtime got hold of it. Showtime is the also-ran among pay cable services. They've got something less than half the subscriber base of HBO. And HBO is getting new subscribers all the time because they do cutting-edge series like Sex and the City and Oz. And Showtime had a big case of Oz envy.
And the Sopranos,
right. And Showtime decided that doing an Americanized version of Queer as Folk was going to get them huge numbers of new subscribers and make them competitive with HBO.
The logic's working for me so far. I mean, I think it's a fine idea.
In theory, it's a fine idea. In practice, the series is really pretty lame. As a matter of fact, in my review in Planet Q this month, I quite honestly can't remember worse writing or worse acting anywhere.
So is this – I don't know if you can distance yourself this way or even if – the question will make sense, but is this the reaction of a true fan of the original against a remake? I mean, I know, for example, let's say with kung fu movies or people really like Japanese animation, they are just horrified at any remake and are kind of – and I don't mean this in a critical way, but are kind of unable to appreciate the remake on its own merits. Do you think there's a little bit of that? Do you think you're judging it against this?
Well, I don't think there's any way that you can help judging it against the original, but I think there's more going on than that. The original series – I know you haven't seen it.
No.
Focuses on the lives of three gay men in Manchester, mm-hmm. Stuart, Vince, and a 15-year-old boy named Nathan, who is coming out as the series begins.
Man boy, please.
I've read web pages, so I understand some of the basics.
Yeah. The crux of the series was that even though Stuart and Vince never have sex because they're never really quite attracted to each other that way, they are nonetheless lovers. They are deeply, passionately committed to one another. They need one another, can't live without one another. The last episode of the series, they come very close to just saying, I love you, and end up together joyously after sort of going other ways. There's a lot of side sex depicted. But the love between the two main characters is the emotion that drives the whole series.
Mm-hmm. Just as the love between Dr. Sexavlos and I drives the show.
Well,
just
hey, think I can see that.
At any rate.
Yeah. In the Showtime version, the first thing you hear at the beginning of the very first episode is gay life is all about sex. I mean, they just completely blew the whole point of the series.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure why, except I guess they thought they were going to beef it up to try to compete with some of the stuff on HBO, except that then all of a sudden Showtime got cold feet about it and submitted the series to the MPAA Ratings Board, the organization that rates movies. And the MPAA told them, you have to make all kinds of cuts if you want this to have an R rating. So they cut it. They submitted it not once but twice to the MPAA and cut large amounts of sex out of the series.
And do you have any idea what they were thinking by that move? I mean, that doesn't seem to follow their earlier logic of wanting a hit like Oz. I mean, certainly Oz, you know, has plenty of anal rape and full frontal penis. I mean,
right.
I can't.
Yeah, there's no frontal nudity in this series at all.
Well, so, one of the slogans that Showtime was using to help market the show and create excitement for it was no limits.
Now, that's actually Showtime's corporate motto.
Right.
And it turns out they have limits when it comes to depicting gay life.
I was going to say, just to play devil's advocate a little bit here, often what directors will do if they know their movie is going to be submitted to the MPAA, they actually put in extra racy footage and swearing, basically giving meat to the MPAA Wolverines, hoping that will distract them from what they actually want to keep in the movie.
Actually, Showtime promised the show's creators that it would not be rated.
So,
and
okay.
And double-crossed them.
Right,
and
this does sound like a very different
anyway.
Situation
yeah.
then. Okay.
And what's left is really pretty lame. I mean, the sex is nothing you wouldn't see in an R-rated movie. There are a few naked butts flashed in front of the camera.
But you yourself say that the original series wasn't about the sex, right? So
there was a lot of sex in it, though, and it was the sex that really generated the talk. I mean, in the first episode of the Brit series, there's a very explicit sex scene between Stuart and Nathan, the 15-year-old.
I mean, so I was trying to compare it. Maybe this would be better if I had picture-in-picture on my TV or something. But the Showtime version, I did see some pretty decent sex between Nathan and – or whatever, Justin.
Justin,
and
they call him, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the rimming scene, for example. Can I say rimming on that right now?
Sure.
You saw most of what they showed in the British version, I thought.
Not quite all, though. I mean, in the British version, there was absolutely no doubt where the tongue was going. And in the American version, they kind of hedge on that.
But is this a bad thing? I mean, is a little bit of subtlety, is a little bit of hinting, is that a bad thing?
Or well, believe me, there's nothing subtle in this series. I mean, it doesn't make sense if you're promoting this as a big cutting-edge sex series that you want people to subscribe to see. I mean,
yeah.
you can't have it both ways. I'm totally baffled about who Showtime thinks is going to subscribe to see this. I can't imagine that large numbers of straight people are going to want to see this series badly enough to fork out $20 a month for it. And Showtime has done an awful lot of stuff to really alienate the gay community in the way they've handled the series, starting with the censorship, which a lot of gay people are really offended by. Several of the lead actors in the series have made really inflammatory homophobic remarks to the media.
Just before we jump in, there's three main actors, only one of which is gay. The 17-year-old is gay in real life, right?
Right, and he's really 23, actually. There is
like
a lot of speculation about Gail Harold, who plays Brian in the series. He's he's using the old line about, well, gee, I can't tell you what my sexual orientation is because I want you to focus on the character,
right.
Which is something that only gay actors say. So basically the cat's out of the bag. Hal Sparks is the other lead, the guy that used to host Talk Soup, and everybody in the universe thinks he's gay, but he's been all over the media denying it.
Are all Talk Soup hosts gay? Was Greg Kinnear gay?
Greg Kinnear says he's not, I believe.
You haven't heard the same gossip I have. We're back to gossip again, aren't
we? Well, I know, but hey, sometimes it's just...
The national pastime.
And then that guy...
It's the great leveler, what can I say?
What? Homosexuality?
Gossip.
Gossip. The great leveler. And you said, did you... I don't think you said this. I've got my little checklist here. Hal Sparks' comments in the media were actually – he's taking great pains – did you just say this? Was I in another world? He's taking great pains to make it very clear that he's not homosexual.
Oh, yes, and he's talked to Newsweek, TV Guide, New York Magazine, and two or three other media outlets, mainstream media outlets, about how extraordinarily distasteful he finds it to be playing a gay character. he has compared doing his love scenes to bestiality. Which leads to the obvious question, why the devil did he take the role?
Well, the obvious question is that necessarily a bad thing? I mean, I believe you said earlier in our very in-depth pre-interview that he compared kissing a man. He felt that it was similar to kissing a dog, I believe.
Right.
Well, they have rougher tongues. Men have rougher tongues than women, so maybe.
And cold.
Oh, I thought you were saying you had kissed a dog and knew what they're...
No, not a dog. I'm not ashamed to say that.
Not a living dog.
Dogs are very affectionate.
I've dated a few dogs.
They kiss you. You put a little peanut butter on your – well.
But we digress.
Oh, boy.
I mean, just kissing Wolfman Jack.
And so
this is a lot more fun than doing the Ann Devlin show, by the way.
Well, it's because we're all naked. Ann Devlin? We like to say we put the devil in Ann Devlin.
Is that what she says?
That's the first time we ever said that. The Hell Sparks were irritating, and I believe you said something which I thought was a very good comment, where you said something like, you know, idea
of... actors are supposed to want to be credible in their roles. And this guy has been everywhere in the country talking about how he hopes nobody will believe him in this role.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
Many actors and actresses have said at various points in the media like that they don't want to be – that either their sexuality shouldn't be an issue or they don't want to be known as gay because that will cut down on their ability to get leading man, leading lady roles. Like that's one of the reasons I read in a good interview with Jodie Foster a couple years ago why she's so cagey about her sexuality is because up until she actually kind of semi came out a few years ago, she didn't want anybody to know because she was afraid she wouldn't get any more leading lady roles.
But, I mean, things have changed. Rupert Everett isn't having any trouble finding work.
But, hey, he's friends with Madonna, and you know the kind of pull she has.
But that's a funny example, right? I mean, he doesn't ever play sexy heterosexual leading man roles.
Oh, well, sure. In An Ideal Husband,
An
who
ideal
played
husband,
straight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but that, yeah, that, I mean, but that was a kind of Victorian comedy of, you know.
Yeah. Right, so all those Victorian guys are kind of gay anyway, right? I mean, so...
Right.
He's not going to be like an Indiana Jones.
Well, all Englishmen are gay.
Pretty much.
Well, actually, I think you bring up an interesting issue between – I'm sorry.
No. Sorry. I was talking all over you.
Hit us with it.
Some of the differences between the American version of Queer as Folk and the original English series – I think
the robot monkeys weren't in the British one, right?
No, they were.
There is a lot of Doctor Who footage in the British series, actually.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, besides changing cultural references like Doctor Who and comic books and the American one and other kinds of social references that Americans probably wouldn't really appreciate or understand, I'm wondering, do you think, John, is there a difference in the attitude that the writers have or the producers have to their audiences? Because it seems like in the American version, everything has to be really out there. There's not much subtlety going on. It's not very complex. And I think in the original series, some of the things that we like so much about it is that the characters had depth. There was complexity. There were many levels of the characters which came out over time. And, you know, the plot lines were not exactly followed in a linear way, you know.
Well, part of it, again, is as I said, the actors. I mean, you could use a scanning electron microscope on Gail Harold and never detect a change in his facial expression. The man's made out of plastic. The other part of it is that the people who are writing this series are really not particularly good writers. The two executive producers slash writers are Ron Cowan and Daniel Lipman, whose other principal credit was a primetime soap opera called Sisters.
One of those guys or somebody was involved with Anne Early Frost, which I thought was...
I think one of them may have had a hand in that. I think they might have produced that.
I was touched by that. I remember I was 12 at the time.
Yeah, the other producer slash writer on this series is a man named Jonathan Tolans, who wrote a play called Twilight of the Golds, which is absolutely the lamest, stupidest, most idiotic, hardest to sit through gay play I've ever come across in my life. It's a play. It's a gay play. You understand this? It's about a gay character, and the word gay is never used in it. It's about a family crisis, and there's the gay brother in the play whose name is David, and instead of saying gay, they say like David. Good heavens! What if our baby is like David? What kind of a life would he have if he's like David, and on and on and on. I mean, it's the most ludicrous farrago I've ever come across. One of the people
that's like
who is writing
I don't even know that word.
This
couple
series.
Words more. Farrago.
Yeah.
How do you spell that? Wasn't that a Marvel villain from the 60s?
I'm not old enough to remember
farrago.
I'm feeling a little farrago right now. What is this word?
For F-A-R-R-A-G-O.
Wow, that's actually a word I do not know.
Sort of a do-it-yourself writer's benefit that doesn't work.
Cool. But for our high school listeners out there, that might be in the SATs. Could be. Jot that down. Look it up. Farrago. Farrago is to sex talk as
Zoigma is to
lime jello.
There you go.
Very crepuscular.
Crepuscular, I know.
Corpulent.
And sort of along with the talent access, I don't know if you had more to say along that, but there was something else I wanted to get to, which is the acting itself. You know, I'm not like a big-time arts and entertainment editor, award-winning novelist like you are, but I was watching the show, I was trying to figure out why I didn't like it. And part of the reason I didn't like it is that when I watched the British version, you know, little 15-year-old Nathan actually kind of seemed – like an innocent, at first seemed like an innocent little kid. You know, it had that kind of enthusiasm, and yet sort of the naivete really pulled it off. And so in the sort of the Doctor Who kid, I forget the Doctor Who guy.
Vince,
you know, he was kind of earnest but pathetic, but, you know, sad, you know, very.
But he also had a fabulous sense of humor and a sense of irony about himself, too.
Well, they were actors. And,
right.
I mean, the of the three leads in this, none of them are actors. Hal Sparks has never acted before. Gail Harold has done two or three regional stage productions. His credits list Long Day's Journey into Night. I just can't imagine. And Randy Harrison, who plays the 17-year-old, has apparently done high school and college musicals before this.
Which is not, you know, not to, I mean, like the
not
guy
that there's anything wrong with high school musicals.
Exactly.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, the guy that played Luke Skywalker in the latest
Mark
Star Wars
Hamill
movie.
Oh, Mannequin Skywalker.
I mean, he did. Right,
that's a bad example if you're trying to show that no acting experience doesn't make a bad character.
So the other thing, I would just see if I can get a word in, speak edgewise among you. The point that I was trying to make about acting is not only did I think the British actors were good, but, you know, by comparison with Nathan, Randy Harrison, he already acts like a totally jaded 23-year-old gay man. I'm not getting the sense of, like, you know, wonderment and confusion and innocence from him at all. Right? He's already started.
Right. I mean, that first scene where he meets the older man that he gets involved with and has this life-changing sexual encounter with and falls in love with, I found the American version kind of unbelievable that somebody his first time would act this way and talk this way, and it just didn't ring true at all. And you wonder Is it the writing? Is it the directing? Is it the acting?
Yes,
is
yes,
the
yes.
cinematographer?
Yes, yes, yes.
Is it my left ass cheek? I almost couldn't say that. I kind of choked up my throat.
I mean, the dialogue in the British series was light and witty and smart, and the dialogue in this thing, I mean, if you remember, at the beginning of the sex scene between Brian and little Justin, Brian's trying to get him into a seductive mood, and here's what he says. Are you a top or a bottom?
Hey, that works for me.
Come on, that's a throwaway line. I mean, that's something gay men ask each other over cheeseburgers, not when they're trying to seduce each other.
Is this true? Have you ever been asked that at the O over a cheeseburger?
I did have a very tragic misunderstanding with the cook at the O when I thought he was asking me that, when in fact he was asking me if I wanted cheese on the O. Oh, can't finish that touching
story.
off-the-cuff story. I believe we have a phone call. I will not answer this call unless you know what the word farrago means. Let's see if you've been listening.
Is that like farrago type, some sort of old picture?
The villain in Othello.
In fact, it was a villain from Star Trek. Remember the farragos that were the...
That was the farrago incident where they had an encounter with...
Yeah, I had nightmares when I was a kid about the farragos.
Well, Carl, the arts and editor of Planet Q's award-winning monthly column, Notes from the Cultural War, is charging us $5 an hour to be here. So make your question quick and to the point.
Well, is this a bad time to call?
Well, we are doing a show and stuff, but go ahead.
I thought this was a call-in show, though. I feel more like an interloper than a welcome guest.
It's just our way of putting you at ease by not putting you at ease.
We're subverting the normal call-in show paradigm by making you feel as comfortable as possible. What's your question, for God's sake? Have you been listening, or are you like one of our callers who just calls in and is not even listening to the show?
In prison?
I'm in a place where I can't listen to the show, but I've turned to you guys before for wisdom.
Do you get your time?
You're in prison, aren't you?
Sadly, no. Skinamax, yes. Showtime, it's too racy.
Is there kind of a funny, like, Skinamax? Is there a funny pun for Showtime, like...
Blow time?
Oh, good one.
Snow time, blow
HB time. Blow. I guess blow, and I sort of stole your blow, but you laughed.
I did. I'm programmed to laugh, Master. So anyway, we're talking about the show Queer as Folk.
The American version. I've seen the British version. I haven't seen the American version yet.
Oh, you have seen the British version?
Yes.
Did it make you feel gay? I mean, are you gay?
It made me want to feel gay.
But it didn't work?
No, I tried, and after a good 3 or 4 hours in the bathhouse, I was sore, but no more emotionally fulfilled.
If at first you don't succeed...
Try again, I guess.
Well, that's what they told me. But there's a point when you just have to throw in the towel. And, go back to 60-year-old women. So my question is this, and it's not about Queer as Folk, but it's related to the media images of sex. Okay?
Okay.
So far pornography, until this part of humanity, pornography has been primarily a visual medium with occasional, with occasional forays into audio. Pornography is a tactile medium, often just called prostitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, when are we going to have the technology and the artistic community to take pornography into the last remaining sensory frontier?
Smell-o-vision?
Was it smell-o-vision? Is that what the caller said?
What?
What was the last frontier?
Olfaction.
Olfaction.
Smell-o-vision, indeed. But is that a sense we really want to be embraced by, involved with?
As we all know, olfaction cuts to the deep, like, you know, primal reptilian hindbrain, right? And the feelings and emotions evoked by olfaction are, you know, more primal in a sense than those evoked by the other senses. So it seems like the...
Have you been smoking? I'm going to have John field this question, but first I want to just say that I just read in, I believe, some crappy magazine, I don't know, PC Magazine or maybe, I don't know, Boy's Life or Scholastic Scope or, you know, 16, just one of these magazines.
High Books for Children.
There was something you could... something you could get for your computer, which would actually – it's a little smell thing.
Yes, and I've heard of that as well.
They have smell websites you can go to, and it emits – they claim that they found, like, if I may use mathematical terminology, like all the basis vectors
and
for smell.
People think the Internet is useless.
Which I don't believe, but they
claim – No, this is a big old hoax, right?
Like, they claim to find all the basic smells, and by combining the sort of basis vectors for smell, and by combining the right way, they can generate any smell. I don't believe it, but,
no.
You know, you can go to, like, you know – whatever, excretion.com, and then the Smello.
So I'm pretty sure that was all just a big goofy hoax.
No, no, that product actually exists.
Really? You've seen it?
No. I have not seen it in operation, but I've read it. I've heard reviews of it from reliable sources.
Huh.
They claim everything comes out smelling like room freshener.
That I can believe.
John, field your question, and then I'm going to smack you down because we have, you know, paid good money to have John on the show.
Well, I do remember that back in probably the 70s or early 80s, Larry Flint ran a bunch of scratch and sniff centerfolds.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh. I bet they were all perfume scented. Well, no, this is Larry Flint, right?
This is nothing I would have scratched and sniffed, so I sure can't help you there.
Floor of the video store.
Is that true? I mean, you know, as a published author and award-winning columnist, surely you want to experience all art forms. I mean, would you really not scratch and sniff like the crotch of a Larry Flint centerfold just out of some
bigotry,
outdated notion of personal hygiene?
Since the actual physical sort of thing didn't work for me, I think it highly unlikely that the scratch and sniff version would have.
Well, but still, I mean, the business. I mean, we want straight people to watch Queer as Folk, even though they're not going to have gay sex.
I don't
sex
want them to watch this Queer as Folk. No.
I mean, is it too much to ask you, a gay man, to occasionally sniff the crotch of a beautiful?
I'll
woman,
sniff
you know,
the crotch of a straight man. Would that do it?
Hey, if he tucked right into the gluteal fold, it would be.
Sure, but, I mean, there's no reason why the scratch and sniff pornography has to be limited to, you know, straight women, right?
True.
There's no reason why, I don't know, stud puppy or whatever can't include it as well.
Did you say sex puppies?
I said stud puppy.
Oh, sorry. Our connection is bad. Well, I think you raise an interesting point, caller. I guess we'll have to get back to you.
I have to ask one last question before I go.
This is a high-powered research institution, so I'm sure we can meet your needs at some point in the future.
Well, I haven't really fully explored my needs yet, but I have a comment and then one last question. My comment is, I'm wistful for the times on the show when the caller came first. That can no longer be the case. My question is, what's the quick one-sentence review of the Showtime version of Queer as Folk?
Well, if you'd listen to the show, you wouldn't have
the
to even ask
the quick one-sentence review. I think the quick one-sentence review so far is crap.
Okay. I'd like a verb. Well, no, I guess that is a verb.
Is that? Yeah, I mean, is that accurate? No. We're warning novelists.
I think he's a modifier.
Raconteur and skateboarding champion.
I think that would cover it. Yeah.
I have to disagree. Crap, but I still want Justin to rain on my parade.
Actually, I disagree that it's total crap. I don't believe it is total crap. I think that there is probably something valuable in this. Hopefully it will improve over time. I guess I'm being optimistic. But one of the things that I think it's one of the first shows in which the majority, like 99% of the characters are gay men or lesbians. And although it's not exactly totally accurate, and it is set in Pittsburgh.
What about the Olympics? Like 90% of the people there?
Well, right. But I mean in terms of –
They are?
Well, not the pretending that you're – well, I think they do need to pretend that they're not, right? Or at least they can't be seen with their girlfriend, or they can't, you know, say that they're girlfriends in print. I think that usually gay people on television programs, they're usually not the main characters, usually like some afterthought, some like neighbor, some comic relief. Although things have improved over time – this is a show in which the gay characters are the central characters and their lives are the central point of the show. And even though there are a lot of strange things going on in Queer as Folk in the American version, I think that for some people this may be a way for them to relate to something that they really need that they're not going to get anywhere else. And I just hope that the show will improve over time. I would encourage people to see the English version if they have any opportunity because I think it's pretty much unsurpassed.
That was more than one sentence, you realize.
Well, okay. But that's how I feel. And I think that there is some kind of value in the show in terms of having this kind of perspective that's pretty uncommon.
Well, I think that part of that is a valid point. I mean, this is the first TV series in which the gay characters aren't defined in terms of their relationships to straight characters. I mean, even on Will and Grace, which I think is Drek anyway, Will only exists. I mean, Will finds all the emotional satisfaction he needs in the world in his friendship with Grace, which is just mind-bogglingly unreal.
Well, and vice versa, to be fair, right? Isn't she as much of a like neurotic nutcase as he? So I think that might be more of a character dynamic than a gay thing, if you know.
But
what
it's
I mean.
No, but I mean, gay characters are always on television defined in terms of their.
Thesis,
and
right.
I think Will is, you know, even though nominally Will and Grace is a gay show. I don't think it is. And I, you know, well, queer as folk is certainly that.
Well, this is a
but at the same time, I mean, the characters in the British series are well-rounded, understandable, complex characters, and you don't like anything about all of them. Nathan the kid is adorable. He can be really sweet at times. He can also be a manipulative little creep at times. Same with all the other characters. But you can't feel superior to them because they're real characters. The characters in this thing are so one-dimensional and so empty that I think most people who watch the show, most straight people who watch the show, are going to feel superior to them. And I think that's what the show is very carefully designed to do.
Really? You think it's actual deliberate sabotage of the show in that sense? That sounds
I think that's the consistent pattern in American mass media when they do gay characters. And I think that's certainly the case here. I mean, it might not even be conscious. It might be something they do without thinking about it.
Well, they certainly crapify everything.
Yeah.
I mean, one could even take a show like, say, you know, Survivor, right, which came from England originally and was, I guess, or was it England?
Yeah.
Some foreign land.
I don't know. They're all foreigners, Germans, whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't see either because I don't actually own a TV. But I was told, again, the original version was more fun. And the Big Brother show, same deal. That was Dutch, right? Anyway.
Well, the European version of Survivor was – I mean, somebody killed themselves after getting kicked off the island in the
That was the I mean, Dutch version of Big Brother, right?
I was actually hoping they'd all kill themselves on this version.
That was a gay show, Survivor.
I have to bet all
Since
my
the
credibility –
gay man triumphed.
I'm putting all my credibility on the line that it was Survivor and not Big Brother. But
your TV.
Oh, I got a thumbs up from my producer. I don't know what that means. I think that's some kind of key that he wants to meet me in the
bathroom. All right, for a little.
I'm gonna thumbs down. I think that means we're gonna try both.
That means he wants to be on the bottom.
So here's what I'm gonna do. In line with what Sharon
said. I
give
good thumb.
In line with what Sharon has implicitly suggested, being the female on the show, she's naturally more nurturing, more creative, more what? Wholesome. You're offended because I called you nurturing and creative?
Well, she's not.
I hope to be creative. I hope at times to be nurturing.
Well,
I've seen John with his cats.
Problem.
He's very nurturing, much more so than I. But, well, you know, I think one of the things that John was saying about that the gay characters in American television, for the most part, exist in relationship to their straight characters.
Well,
and I think part of the problem with the writing in this from a woman's point of view is that the female characters, the lesbian characters in the American version, from what I've seen, sort of exist in relationship to the gay male characters only. I mean, it seems like even though they have this supposedly loving relationship, they've had a baby together, they're a lesbian couple, most of their conversation seems to be around the topic of fighting about the one of the male characters that's really a pain in the ass and also is sort of the central character who's the most, I guess, from many men's point of view, the most sexually interesting, the most sexually aggressive, whatever. But I'm just very disappointed.
The lesbians in the series never do anything but fight. No, thank you.
Later.
It looks so appetizing.
This
it
was
does.
Like $1.50 grapefruit. This was not a cheap grapefruit.
And the women in the English series, they have a sense of humor. They have they're just as much a part of the sensibility of the show. They're not an appendage to the men, and that's something that I feel is kind of offensive in the American version. Yeah,
again, that's the writing and the acting.
This is a common, not to belittle this at all, but this is a very common critique that you hear from, for example, from African Americans, from Asians, from Hispanics.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right? Like, they always say, oh, the black characters in the show only exist in relation mm-hmm. to the white characters.
Sure. I mean, the same points that Spike Lee has been making mm-hmm. in movies like Bamboozled, you know, I think are perfectly valid about characters that belong to any minority, certainly gay and lesbian characters.
Right.
I just had this insight. Well, this is where I was going with the nurturing thing. I wanted to spend 4 minutes of the show, just a tiny 4/60th, which is, what is that in percentage terms?
15th.
It's not a percentage, though.
Oh, well, do the conversion yourself.
Seven.
Lucky boy. Seven. Thank you.
Thank God for the producer.
Final 7% of the show.
Plus or minus 5%. It's good enough for the elections. It's good enough for us.
What is positive about the American Queer as well? Come on, we can do it. 7%, we can fund 7% of the show that is positive, whether as an instrument of social change, whether as
– it's closer to being over.
It can turn one high school kid in Wexford to become my lover. I mean, where
– Well, the American version will be running at least for 22 episodes. And
wow.
So there will be –
You're kidding.
No.
And apparently the reason they've done that is that they think they're going to be able to syndicate it.
Wow.
Nevertheless, I think
– We're being positive here.
I'm trying to be positive, and I think that there are positive things about it.
They're upbeat.
Now, if one does not approach it from an extremely critical perspective
– You mean do lots of drugs.
Whatever. I think there are probably certain aspects of some of the characters that people certainly could relate to. I mean, even though they're not as well developed, they're not as complex, and the actors aren't as good, and the writers aren't as good, I still think that there are elements of life, of real life.
We're down to 5%.
Okay.
That, baby.
That people can relate to and could probably help them. And I think there is a certain level of.
Who do you know who has ever been helped by a television series?
Oh, I think people.
John Michael, this is positive, period. I demand you say something positive about
the most
show.
Positive thing I can say is that if it doesn't tank, it will open the door to more and better productions in a similar vein.
Hmm.
If it doesn't tank.
Damning faint praise. Is that what
the colors are very nice, I was told.
Justin's ass is gorgeous.
Okay, for teenagers, at least they will be seeing a teenager that likes himself, that knows who he is, that isn't totally screwed up in his head. And I think that also, he does fall in love. He's one of the few characters that you actually see that has an emotional attachment to somebody, and that is a driving thing for him. And it's a time in his life when he's really looking to find out who he is and to try to experience some of that. So I think that is a good thing. I don't know. I think that there are many levels that people could probably find somebody to identify with. In a way that maybe on other programs that they can't. And I think on a certain level, maybe the humor might work for an American audience.
Well, if it didn't work for the three of us who have seen it.
I don't know. I mean,
we're sophisticated, bitter, and jaded.
Well, I think, you know, looking at it in a way that, yes, I will be disappointed. Okay, I was disappointed the first time I saw it, but the second time I saw it, I try to be a little bit more open-minded about it. And yes, even though all those failings and are still there, I was trying to appreciate it for what it was. And I still think that there is some value in watching the show. Maybe not for everybody, but I still think that maybe this will be one of the few programs on television that really provides some better insight to our lives than maybe some other programs. I don't know.
Better
I'm trying
than,
to be optimistic.
It's better than more wrestling, in other words.
Well.
Although wrestling is pretty gay.
There aren't any lesbians involved with world. The WWF is
well,
that
there's
true?
The gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Oh, well.
I'm not making that up.
Are they really gorgeous?
They say they are, and they're bigger than me, so I'm not going
to. They wouldn't be allowed to say it on TV if it wasn't true.
That's right. Absolutely.
True.
So, John Michael Kovacevic, I mean, we're almost out of time. I have one final question for you. It's a tradition on our show for us, our guests, to make a psychic prediction about the future. This is a multi-part question. Will this show be picked up for another season by Showtime? Will Al Gore and George Bush be arrested in DuPont Circle having anonymous gay sex? And will Brenda send me email and hook me up with her high school wrestling friends?
I don't think it's going to do well for Showtime. The thought of Gore and Bush having gay sex with each other or anyone else chills my blood more than I can tell you. And it's between you and Brenda.
That's not much of a prediction, that last one.
You're darn too.
Come on, you've got a 50-50 chance.
I'm sensing, John Michael Kovacevic, that you're a better novelist than psychic. But it's been a joy. Go to Amazon.com, look up John Michael Kovacevic, and order all four of his novels. I assume three. They're all online.
They're all out of print, actually.
Ooh.
Dough.
Well, you know,
they've reached that nebulous cult status, actually.
Awesome.
We'll prowl those used bookstores for them, then.
We are tragically out of time. I have to reveal that this is WRCT Pittsburgh. And thank you all for listening. Thank you, Brenda, for calling in.
Thank you, mystery olfactory caller.
Experience the horror next week, Tuesday at 11. and we're done.